there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome back. We are live for the second hour. Gene Stallings is joining us in hour number one. We'll talk to Griff later on. Let's talk to Daryl next.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, Daryl.
Well, I heard Nick Saban now is going out there and calling last year a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
I mean, when Kirby Smart was there, okay, it was always reloading. Never was there a rebuilding. Looks like they're taking a step back now. Now Alabama's having to rebuild. I mean, wow, boy, that's a change. And if you're rebuilding, I would think by January, wouldn't you have been rebuilt? And if that was the case, if he was rebuilt by January, he sure could have stopped Georgia in that national title game on that drive, and we just ran the football right down the throat, and they was unable to stop it. I mean, just moved the ball right down the field. You know, Kirby Smart rebuilt Georgia the year that we played Alabama and went to overtime in the national championship game. And ever since then, we've been reloading. But to me, it was kind of a hit at Georgia for him to say rebuilding. Were you surprised by that, what he said, or what?
I'm really not surprised, Daryl, because this is a common theme, as you know, from the coach. He's done this before.
Yeah, when you recruit top five recruiting classes, you don't rebuild, I didn't think. I thought you just reloaded. I thought all them other schools, they were the ones that had to rebuild every year, you know? I mean, he rebuilded. But he
I agree. Listen,
the best defensive player of the country. I mean,
he will.
Let me point out one thing to you, Paul.
Okay.
The strongest thing for Georgia this upcoming year is at the tight end position. Would you agree with that?
Nobody in the world compares to them right now.
And that's the tight end position is something that I think college football had went away from as far as throwing the football, running the ball. Still, the tight end is used in the NFL. But I just think that's just another feather in Kirby Smart's cap, because when you take a tight end like Brock Bowers, okay, not only is this guy strong, not only is this guy big, he's fast, okay? A linebacker can't cover him. So who you put on him? You put a safety on him, but safety can cover him, a cornerback can cover him, but if he catches the ball, he's going to run right over him. I mean, it's just a weapon that you throw out there on the field that you can use, and the other team has to stop it. I think that's a brilliant move by Georgia. And let me say one more thing. I know I told you in February, okay, that Trayvon Walker would be the first Georgia player taken in the draft, even though everybody was saying to Kobe Dean. Now, I want to point out one more thing to you going into this year. We got McIntosh and we got Milton as the two running backs. Keep your eye on Deshaun Edwards, a third-team running back. That guy is, in my opinion, the best back. He's had like 80-something carries since he's been in Georgia, averaging over 5 yards a carry. People could say it's against mop-up, you know, mop-up time. That might be true. But when it's mop-up time, you know the offense is going to run the football, okay? They're not going to throw it. And he's still been able to average over 5 yards a carry, almost 90 carries at Georgia. He is somebody you need to keep your eye on. Go Dawgs. See you, Paul.
AC is up next in Jersey. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Mr. Feinbaum, I need to follow up with this question. You did not provide me an answer last week, I understand. This week, I'm looking for an answer. Do you think Jim from Tuscaloosa is on medication? Yes or no?
No, I do not.
That's good. See, that wasn't too hard last week, but you couldn't answer. Here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. What's up with all those revenge tour? Golly, University of Alabama paying these fans to promote? Saban is not saying revenge tour. You know, he's smart. These players are not talking about revenge tour. Matter of fact, I thought Alabama had a lot of pressure. Matter of fact, it's triple of the pressure on those fans. If Alabama doesn't get it done, everybody's coming after you. Don't worry about Jimbo Fisher. Don't worry about Kirby Smart or any smart or lousy idiot out there. Worry about yourself. Why is it so hard for a guy like Jerome to understand, including a legend and a drunk man from Shelby, Larry, that same promotion every single week. Right now, I'm bored to death. It feels like our man is making better calls than this idiot. Why? Also, my question, Mr. Feinbaum, is it necessary to promote every single week with the same thing, revenge tour? Is it necessary?
No, it's not.
Oh, thank you. So that saves time. Because if you're just wasting time calling the show 2-3 times a day, matter of fact, I love new callers. Why are you wasting someone's time? Maybe that person out there, they never had a chance to talk to you, Mr. Feinbaum. You are taking their time. To me, it makes no sense whatsoever. You know what? Instead of talking about revenge tour, just shut up and let's see how it ends. If the script says it's going to be Georgia and Alabama for the national championship, what's the point of watching the same movie? This is why we need a new blood. The new blood, that's my pick, Ohio State. I cannot put my money on Clemson. Again, who knows what they're going to do. Probably they might lay an egg again against NC State Wolfpack. And Georgia and Alabama, you can do whatever you want to. But the thing is, I don't want to eat the same breakfast every day or lunch or dinner because I get bored to death. And that motivates me, Mr. Feinbaum. When callers, they take a shot at me, that motivates me to call the show even more. Negativity, that motivates me even more. So come after me. I am not like Jim from Tuscaloosa with thin skin because I have a thicker skin. I like you sore losers out there. But Mr. Feinbaum, there's no revenge tour. It's more like if you do not get the job done, I'm going to be laughing at you. So Jerome and all the boys out there, be careful how you run your mouth, because if you don't get the job done in January, everybody's going to be laughing at you. But Mr. Feinbaum, I'm going to hang up by saying this. Probably should put Mr. JK on your Ring of Honor. Seems like he is a sapient of all sapient. I got to go. Enjoy your day, Mr. Feinbaum. God bless you, man.
Rod is up next in Missouri. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. This is Ron from Kansas City, Missouri. And
sure.
I just had a three-part question. First off, big Nebraska Cornhuskers fan. We lost every game last year by single digits. Do you think Casey Thompson and the wide receiver transfers and even Mickey Joseph, as well as our new offensive coordinator, will be the answer to those missing pieces to bridge that gap?
I do. Ron, I don't know when I've ever seen a team that has been more hard luck than the Huskers. It's not comical to you, but I still maintain that Scott Frost has a chance to prove what I thought and others thought years ago, that he was one of the best coaches in the country. I think it's pretty obvious this was maybe a dubious move. He could have gone to Florida, could have gone to Tennessee, could have gone a lot of places, but he wanted to go back home. I can't blame him. Maybe karma will go his way. It would be a pretty short leash. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Trey in Illinois, you're on the air. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes. You sound great.
Okay. Well, this is actually pretty funny. I'm actually a huge Nebraska fan myself, and Scott Frost is the man. I just think he had a lot of bad luck, like you said. COVID was hard for anyone. If you were the top five school, maybe you weren't affected. But every other school, it was hard to recruit. It was hard to do a bunch of things. So go Big Red, first off. But, yeah.
Yeah, if he doesn't, it won't matter. The situation will take care of itself. And I think it was a tough call to determine. If he wasn't who he was, he wouldn't have been around for this year. But when you're a legend, you get a shot.
Definitely. Actually, the reason why I'm calling you, with all this realignment going on, all these super conferences, I was wondering if you think it's possible that an SEC team would ever jump ship and go to another conference. And who I'm thinking about specifically is maybe a team like Missouri.
Yeah, I've heard that question raised because Missouri was a Big 12 team, looked at the Big 10, but I cannot imagine why Missouri 10 years into the SEC would ever consider going anywhere else. It just doesn't...
I mean, not for a football stance, but I mean, I could see something like wrestling. I know the SEC doesn't really care about wrestling, but Missouri's a wrestling state.
Yeah,
and maybe
I understand that.
The Big Ten being a
I don't... tell me this. I mean, does Missouri compete elsewhere in wrestling? I'm trying to remember. I thought they were able...
Yeah, they compete, I think, now in the Big 12.
Yeah.
They compete. But they used to compete in a smaller conference, I believe the MAC.
Right. It's my opinion, and we'll be out in Missouri in a couple of weeks, I'm sure, so we can put the question to the new athletic director. But I think it's highly unlikely Missouri would ever consider leaving the SEC. That's just an opinion. I mean, there's so much benefit from being in the SEC, and I don't think it's absolute. Let's say they got into the Big Ten. Where do they fit? Is that such a great move for them in an expanded Big Ten that now goes from Rutgers to Los Angeles? We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's the schedule that our guys are going to go through, and it's training camp for a reason. I mean, everything that we're doing over the course of this next month is all to get prepared for the season. We're putting everything in. We're talking about the rules. We're talking about situations. We're going through just about everything that will come up.
Just as well.
At least we hope. We're hitting most of those things, and that's what we're going to be focused on. So what these guys are getting into, like today, I mean, as guys show up, they've been doing this. We're going to, you know, we got seniors on this squad that this will be their last time to get a chance to do this here. And you know, for us, it's a big day. So opening day to get everybody here, make sure everybody's good. And then we start practice on Friday because right now everybody's 0-0. All right, nobody's won a game, nobody's played a game, and you know, our opportunity is right in front of us. So what we do in training camp is going to be extremely important, all right, to our success for the rest of the season. So know what these guys are doing. School starts on the 16th. And I say that because I don't think anybody, you know, if you haven't been through it, it's hard to appreciate, all right, the day-to-day grind that these guys go through. And I know the NFL players, you get to see it on some Hard Knocks and different things like that. But, you know, for coaches and players to lock in and really come together and build that chemistry through the game of football, spend this much time together, it's a really, really important time. And there's a lot of stuff. There's, you know, this is talking season while we're practicing and all that. There's all the speculation of what could happen and what everybody thinks until you actually go out there and play. And that's the beauty of playing, is you get to settle the score in the arena. All right, you don't talk about it, you get to go out there and actually play. So all this work that we're doing and what our guys have been doing since January, it's all going to come together. And hopefully that shows up on September 3rd and we go out there and play. And then, you know what, from that point on, we're into the season. So I'm proud of our guys for the work they put in. I'm excited about where this team is at. I've said that, and I really mean that too. I like this squad. I was telling my wife last night, because we're talking about, you know, here's another season that we have a chance to be a part of. and, you know, just where this team is at and what they've been through and the things that we've done to get to where we are right now. I'm excited about this squad. We got a lot of work to do, a lot of things to prove. Most spots are open for competition. Our guys know that, and they're going to go out there and compete, but they're also going to help each other out. They're going to bring value to whatever their role is. They're going to bring value to their teammates and the coaches, and then, you know, we'll go out there and make the decision of who the starters are going to be, but everybody on this team is going to help us win. And that's a message I want to make sure they understand. Everybody on this team, you may not think so, other people may not think so. The guy waving the towel on the sideline, they don't know that he was the scout team linebacker that week, all right, playing whoever against a really good defense that we're probably going to face. They're really important to our success, and they matter. All right, and all these guys, and I say this too, all these guys going through this for 3, 4, 5 years, there's a reason why when they leave here, they're going to be successful. They're not afraid to grind, they know how to work, and they can push themselves. So through the game of football, we're developing a lot more than just, you know, wins on the football field. We want that, we'll get that. I know this team's capable of it, but that's what camp is all about. So we're gonna talk about those things tonight. We're gonna recognize some guys' accomplishments through the summer. Academically, guys finished up well, so proud of those guys in those areas. Had a few guys get married, some other things happen along the way, and so we'll recognize that. I got the seniors coming over to my house tonight, and they get a chance to hear Ronnie Brown, all right, share a little knowledge with those guys, and so we're going to have a great time, and then we'll get ready to go tomorrow, and we're into that schedule I just told you. So with that, questions?
Well, last year you didn't run down like this. We didn't know exactly how everything was set up, but it appears that you're working on a little different schedule, practices at a different time than you had last year. Just talk about being here for a year and how that sort of changed your approach going into fall camp.
Yeah, this is similar to what we did last year. I've kind of had this schedule. But the 2 days that were split, just having the young guys in the afternoon, so they get to kind of see it installed. They get to see the practice that the older guys had a chance to go through. And then they get to go out there and execute it. And then they get to watch themselves later that evening. And it gives us a chance with the older guys, you're kind of moving, right? We've been doing things all summer, the OTAs, and all those guys have been a part of it, but it gives you a chance to kind of slow it down a little bit and teach a few more things, some of the details that our guys have already heard that were here in January and guys that were here last year. So it just gives us a chance for 2 days to really just make sure that we're what we need to emphasize. Because I think the first 2 to 3 days is kind of your DNA that you're getting in. You want to make sure that you're very clear on the expectations, all right, what we need to get done, and the questions get answered. And so having the two practices, for the coaches, it's a little bit of a grind to get back out there and have the two practices. But that second one is really good for us to be able to teach. And then I think what you find out from your older guys, too, is some of those guys get out there and they've already practiced earlier in the day, but they come out and help. You know, so they get a chance to get around, and then the younger guys are like, hey, what do I do on this? And you start getting that player-to-player coaching. And that's what I think helps.
I'm sorry. By the way, I'm Bill Cameron with the
ESPN. Yeah, Bill.
I was going to wonder when you were talking about the two camps, are some of the guys that were here this spring, the newcomers from this spring, going to be in the rookie camp as well?
Yeah, they will. So the coaches kind of split it up. So you got to have enough to make a team, right? So you're going to take some selected vets, too, to be in that second practice. And some guys might go in the morning one day, and the next day they might go in the afternoon. All right, so just kind of mix it up. And it's not really about depth. It's not so much about who the starters are. It's just about splitting it up so we can focus on our guys with some of the real basic needs that we have to do right now getting into camp before we get all together. And once we're all together, it's on at that point. So it gives us a chance to do that.
Ryan, Jason Call with Auburn 247. The quarterback, do you rotate those guys through with Holden, with those young guys to kind of go for the rep purpose?
Yeah, we do. So those guys can rep. Because you're repping four guys, right? I mean, those guys, you got to get, you know, split practices really help the quarterback. So they get a ton of throws in there, even if they're just thrown to a spot. But those guys will bounce around. Coach Kisa's got all that ironed out. And then also even for Holden, just, you know, he's been through spring, but having a chance to go back through the install and do it one more time, slow it down a little bit. Until we get all together on the third day.
Brian, where do you feel like you guys stand in the whole NIL program, and how do you avoid, and I'm sure everybody's facing this, but how do you avoid it becoming some kind of distraction?
What was the first part of it?
Where do you think you guys stand as far as the NIL program goes?
Yeah, well, that's really hard to tell because you don't, you know, there's not really a market. And I think that's exactly what they're trying to figure out, right? You don't know what the market is in NIL. I mean, it's everything is what you hear. And the rumors and all the other things that I think you hear, we all hear the same things. But there's not really a set market for NIL. So that's something that I know it's being worked on right now. People are talking about that because it's very hard to gauge where you are. I know we're doing it. You know, we've embraced it. It's part of college football now. And I think there's some things, like you can say we're doing some things really well. You can say, well, we're not doing it well enough. But let me just tell you this. Here's the one thing with NIL. Each player, they're going to have opportunities to get money from their name, image, and likeness, right? I mean, that was the whole concept behind it. And that provides an opportunity for them. Now, they also got to keep the main thing, because what you're trying to accomplish, getting your degree, starting, trying to win championships, if you want to go on and play at the next level, that takes time. And what we have to do is...
Okay, we've been listening. We got in there maybe a second late, so perhaps we missed it, although I didn't hear any questions about T.J. Finley and his brush with the local authorities today. But the last answer there by Brian Harsin was very interesting in relation to NIL. It mirrored our first guest, Gene Stallings. We will continue here with more of your questions at 855-242-7285, and we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, we're back. We're going to dip back to Auburn for a second. We believe the Finley question has been asked. Finley is in the facility, according to Coach Harsin. You couldn't hear him say that. We had a whatever. But apparently, whatever has been reported Coach, which was that he would... He is aware of the Finley situation, and Finley is in the practice facility. So that's all we know. We'll let you know when we know more. Let's get back to the calls here and check out Nick in Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I have to say something about, this poor woman that's going to rot away in a Russian jail for 9 years, Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
I don't care, Paul. I'm really angry about this. You know, I lived in Russia for 6 years. I know the country very well. And I'm angered about this because I don't care if they have to send in SEAL Team 6 or a covert CIA operation. They need to get her out of there. She will die in that prison. And what's so frustrating is, you know, this administration, as they say, oh, release her now. Does anyone believe that they've got any stones to do anything? And where's Barack Obama? Where's Tommy Tuberville? Where are the senators and the politicians that are going to finally stand up for the American people and do something that matters besides all this other BS between the recession and inflation and gas prices? We got an American citizen that's basically being held on a completely bogus charge, and where is the outrage?
Well, Nick, there's been a lot of fake outrage. You're right. And I know, as you do, what's being suggested. I really don't know how to answer your question, but I also don't know the mechanics of Russian politics other than what I read. You were there, so you know how much it sounds pretty disastrous.
With Victor Boot, so with this prisoner swap, you know, the guy that was a death salesman,
right.
And there is a former Marine that's jailed in Russia now on charges of espionage.
Right.
And, you know, chances are I followed that case fairly closely. You know, I don't know if he was or wasn't, but that's not this Brittany Griner case either.
Right.
So that's a lot more complicated.
So Nick, I'm not trying to be outlandish here, but are you suggesting we send in a SEAL team to Russia? I mean, how do you think that would work out?
Well, I mean, Paul, that's tongue in cheek, right? But
I hope
my
so.
Point is this. My point is that, you know, I'm tired of us looking stupid on the world stage. If it's time to flex, it's time to get.
I'll state the obvious from 3 days ago. I mean, the CIA just knocked out the number one Al Qaeda operative in the world.
They can't do anything else, Paul. They can't retaliate. See, it's easy to pick off. You know, it's hard because knew he comes out for prayer on the balcony.
Okay.
This takes real diplomacy, and then if that doesn't work, you know, carry a big stick and use it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Nick, I'll let people decide for themselves whether they want to declare war against Russia right now, but I think we got enough problems. Thanks for the call, though. Wow. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I know Mondays are usually bad, but for Pete Futak, they seemed really bad.
I think every day's bad for Pete Futak.
I can understand. I mean, what we're getting at here is the Florida, I think, was predicted to be 2, I think. That's what I'm shooting for here. But I mean, I can understand you falling in love with Anthony Richardson's capabilities, but I mean, you know me, I'm a Tennessee fan, and there's a few callers that's called in, and I called you last year that, I mean, Kentucky has a quarterback and a great running back, and I mean, last year they blew the game at Tennessee, but I can understand where Pete Futak would say that. But however, when I was up at the casino last week, I brought back home some literature, and the regular season win totals for the Gators this year is at 7. So if you want to know how your sports team's going to go, usually ask Vegas, because it's their job to get this stuff right.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Chris, who is next
up. Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing great, Chris. Thank you.
Well, in response to Will, just look at the last 15-year record, Gators versus Tennessee, and that'll be that. Just want to get your opinion on the Gators' upcoming season with Coach Napier. From all accounts that I hear down there, he is doing a fantastic job, and everybody's buying in. What record would you consider a successful season for them? And what do you think about their opening game coming out of the blocks with Utah coming into the Swamp?
Yeah, I know what the narrative is about the opening game, but the one thing that I don't like is that the game is at night. And I'm not saying that it's cool in Gainesville at 7 o'clock at night, but it's a lot cooler than it is at 2:30 in the afternoon. So I don't think that's
sure.
a tremendous advantage for the Gators. I have great respect for Utah. Because it's a first game, I don't think the travel and all those things really have a big impact. And it really comes down to Anthony Richardson and the compliments around him. And sometimes a transition to a first game is very difficult. At least for Napier, he's not a first-time head coach, which is extremely difficult. He's an experienced head coach. So that part of the game will not be overwhelming. But I think having a team that was as disjointed as the Gators were at times last year would be my biggest concern.
Yep. I hope the preparation is a whole lot better than what it was last year, especially at the quarterback position. Thanks for taking my call,
yeah,
Paul.
I think it will. I mean, everyone that knows Napier has tremendous respect for him. He's very deliberate. He's smart. He's a different type of coach than Mullen was a hype coach. He was brilliant in certain things and completely deficient in some of the most important factors. And I think that's one reason why he's trying to get a TV job right now. Let's continue with Ray in San Antonio. Hello, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Paul? Blessings to you today.
Thank you so much.
Gotta tell you, brother, I think you've got the patience of Job. In listening to some of this stuff, I gotta ask you a rhetorical question. Do you believe that the intellect of any one given individual is measured by the volume of their voice?
No. I know some people, friends of mine who have been who I've gotten to know who are ministers, and they've always told me on Sunday morning that the only time they will raise their voice is just for effect, is to wake up people from the sermon. But their most important points are when they speak lower and with more deliberate speed than screaming and hollering.
I thought you made a great point earlier with those young men, that 14-year-olds that came on, because that's the essence of, to me anyway, in my opinion, and I don't know it all. I'm a dumb 64-year-old guy, but you gotta love college football first. You gotta love it, and passion is different, than coming out and just raving about the same things over and over again. So, anyways, that's just my observation.
Well, I appreciate
that. I wanted to ask you a question.
You're right. Those two guys were just having fun. No, they were not flamboyant like some of the name callers, but I appreciated that because we were all 14, and we didn't quite have the act down like some of these people.
Amen. I wanted to ask you a quick question. I'm an A&M alumni, and so if there's an X factor for A&M's season and their quest for a national championship, do you believe it's mental or is it physical, and what specifically is it?
Yeah, Ray, I think it's a matter of making the being able to convert the talent to execution on the field. Nobody doubts what they have there. And I mean, I will obsess over the quarterback situation, but based on what I hear, I think they're in good shape regardless of which way they go. To me, the schedule is problematic though. And I would be leery of the Arkansas game. That game has become very important to the Razorbacks, and I don't think playing the game in Dallas is a wash. Miami, I don't think that's a troublesome game, but that's a very tough stretch there. Miami, Arkansas State, Alabama, and then out South Carolina. That the season could get away if they're not careful. I think way too much attention is on Alabama. That game is not going it's not going to determine A&M's season.
I totally agree with you, and I think great teams, given Alabama its due, Georgia its due, and whoever else has won national championships, they have to rise to the occasion. They have to win the games they're supposed to win, and also in the greatest, biggest stage, that they happen to be on, they perform. They find a way to win. So I don't think it's any different for A&M this season. And with that, I got to tell you, thank you for being an advocate of college football and saying it like it is. Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you very much, Ray. I appreciate it. Listen, this is a passion for all of us here behind the scenes and in front of the camera. We step on toes now and then, but only occasionally are they intentionally stepped on. We'll take a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and great to have all of you with us. So let's check out Mike in Houston. Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Mike, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good. I just want to congratulate you on how brave you are of taking all of these phone calls and listening to people and trying to answer them in a relatable, intelligent fashion.
Well, thank you for saying that.
I graduated from University of Texas in 1970, so I saw two national championships. I moved to Miami and got season tickets for 30 years and saw the Miami Glory. And then my daughter went to Alabama, University of Alabama, and graduated. So I've had a rich college history.
Indeed.
And the SEC is so strong and so great, but there's some very rabid fans in the SEC, and I'm just proud of the fact that you will take that call and you'll try and handle it in a professional, straightforward manner and answer their questions and not get caught up in the craziness.
Well, Mike, thank you. You do have an amazing history there. I appreciate it, and you be well. Call again. Thank you very, very much. Gary is up next in Alabama. Hello, Gary.
Hey there, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I take issue with an earlier caller about this Griner girl.
Yes.
In Russia. There was a young man was spray painting a wall when they caught him overseas, and they went ahead and they gave him lashes for it. This young man, a tragedy in North Korea, he was doing something that was against, I think he took a poster or something down,
right,
and he ended up a tragedy. And Griner and the youth today don't realize what freedoms we have in this country. And they go overseas and they still think they're home. Now, I haven't heard it, but I understand Griner's was very much anti-USA, and she was saying things that were not complimentary to her country. Now, all of a sudden, she wants special attention. There's a saying, when you're in Rome, you do as Romans do. So when you go overseas, and it's not that these people don't know it, they are given instructions that these countries don't have these rights that we have in this country. And they just still go over there and feel like they're privileged. And these countries don't care if you're a superstar in basketball, baseball, or who you are. They apply their law as is written. I'm not a communist by any means, but I'm going to tell you, they've got to understand we have a unique and wonderful country here, and they ought to honor it and respect it. And I'm sure when she gets back out, she'll have a new appreciation for the freedoms in this country.
Gary, thank you. Matt is up
hey,
next.
How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Hey, Matt.
I want to give you an update on Mitch for Texas football. He called me today. He said he's feeling more better. He says he didn't know if he's going to get there, but he's starting to feel more better, brother.
I'm glad to hear that. You give him our best when you talk to him next.
I will. I want to tell you something about A&M football, and I want to give you a scenario, since you know a little more knowledge than I do. I think today A&M's going to go 11-1 and shoot that bet at offensive line. But what happens if the SEC has a three-way tie this year?
Well, it could happen. I mean, there is a tiebreaker. Matt, I don't know what it is, and I don't think it matters at the moment, but we'll find out as we get closer. So they'll figure out a way head-to-head, and then there's inside, outside of the division, and then rankings. But there is a method to that madness. We'll take a break. Two more hours to go, including Mike Griffith next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.